I want to just share some more of the word with you. We were speaking last week, and for those that weren't with us or able to be with us, we were speaking last week about paradise to be restored. God wants to restore things as they were in the beginning. God, through Jesus Christ, the second Adam, came to bring all things back to God. Yes. Creation, the Bible says, groans for the Creator. Why does it groan? It wants to get back to that place of perfect unity and wholeness. And God intends to us, He created the Garden of Eden, a place where He could spend time with His people, with His children. And God is saying, I want to bring that all back together. When God created all things, He said, it is good. It is very good. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 says, and in the beginning, God. I'm going to repeat some of what I said last week. I believe it was John Wesley. He was invited to have a crusade somewhere. And as he was out preaching, he preached the same message for 6 days. And one of the leaders of the church said to him, when are you going to preach another message? And the message that he had been preaching was about getting saved. And John Wesley looked at this man in the church and he says, when you become born again. And you know, we sometimes, they say, and you folk that do teaching, they tell me that sometimes we have to hear something for 15 times before it really clicks. Well, that's okay. That means I don't need to get many sermons ready in a year. I can keep preaching the same message over and over and over again until you get it. Until we get it. You know, we have to get it. We have to get hold of Jesus and have our relationship with Jesus. You guys that were in the army, you had rifles. And in some cases, you were probably taught how to take it to bits, put it back together, and then you were told, now you've got to do it blindfold, or you've got to do it in the dark. You've got to be able to do it without thinking just about. Yeah? When you drive a car, do you think, oh, how do I do it? You don't, do you? Those of you who've been driving for a long time, you just simply get in and you do things automatically. Just, it seems as if without thinking. I have a problem. We have 2 cars, an old car and a new car. The new car has one of these fob things that you put in. The new car has a key. To start the new car, you press a button. To start the old car, you turn the key. Yeah? And so when I get into the other car, it's like, I have to think before I can get it going. Right? Because there's a habit that is within me. Push the button, start. Put the foot on the brake, push the button. The old one, you just turn the key and it starts. It's like, and sometimes you'll see me, hands are all over the place looking for, the indicator switch is on the opposite side. Suddenly the wipers are going, oh, wrong car. Habit. I drive home and I don't have to think which way I'm going. I know where I'm going. Do you know where you're going spiritually? Do you know where you're going spiritually? Think about it. In the beginning, God. This is where everything starts. Everything starts with God. Without God, it is not going to start. It's like, He's the battery. He's the generator. Of all things. Yeah. And if you don't have God in your life, no. Your life's not on a good start. No, you need God. Yeah. I need God. Yeah. Every day and every moment of every day. Absolutely. Verse 2 says, and darkness was upon the deep of the was upon the face of the deep. Darkness seeks to overpower, but God said, let there be light. You know, when the enemy comes against us, when problems come against us and God says, let there be light. God says, let there be peace. Let there be victory. Let Jesus be the Lord of your life. Let Jesus take control. Let Jesus direct you. And so we go on and we see that, as we were talking last week, and we were talking about the fact that God separated the land and the sea, and brought the land together and the sea in one block. And scientists have looked at that, and I think there's a, on the computer there, there's a an image. I think it's on the top of the, wake the computer up, the computer's fallen asleep. And scientists have discovered that there's one, the earth was one landmass, and the waters were separated from it. It's great technology, particularly when it works. There we go. That's sort of the first one. And they've come up with ideas of this nature, and that we know that the earth's crust has split and broken up, and now we have oceans that separate various countries from one another. That all came about during the flood. Things began to move. When God began to bring judgment into people's lives. Now we'll talk about that some more later. And so here we have today's maps. Do you know, the strange thing is that they talk about global warming today and about the water levels rising. They don't tell you that a few hundred years ago that the water levels were already higher, and that where Lincolnshire is, it was underwater. They don't tell you that when in the Bible it talks, in the Old Testament, when it talks about the isles, that it's referring to this area where we live now, and the water level was higher, and so we were smaller islands. People don't realize that, but we're all convinced about this global warming. And I'm telling you, God is in control. The earth belongs to the Lord, and everything that is in it belongs to Him. And I just want to encourage you to realize that God is in control of everything that is going on at this time. God is in, if you will surrender your life to Him, God will be in total control of your life. He will direct you. You may have a journey that brings, takes you through a rough sea and a difficult period. Yeah. But it is only a point of passing through. We're on a journey. We're passing through. And sometimes we go through trials and through tribulations. The psalmist talks about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Amen. He's going through. He's not making it his abode. He's not going to live there. He's just moving on through. And it is part of an experience at times that you and I go through things. It's to make you stronger. It is to prepare you, to equip you for the things in ministry. Because I believe that every one of you here should be ministering for the kingdom of God. You don't have to go to Bible school. But you have to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be in the Word of God. And the Word of God has to be in you. And every one of you, God is calling each and every one of us into ministry. Go out into all the world. Speak the gospel. Tell the good news that Jesus is alive, that He forgives sins. Lay hands on the sick. They might recover. No, it says, and they shall recover. Yes. Start to believe God. Yes. Next one's the tough one. Raise the dead. Yes. Oh, well, you know, I think we'll avoid that one, shall we? Why? Why? You don't do the miracles. You don't save souls, but yet you share Jesus and they wait for people, and you'll pray for people and expect them to be healed, but you don't heal them. You don't save them. And let me tell you this, you don't raise them from the dead neither. But that same power that dwells in you, that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, dwells in each and every one of us. The moment that we ask Jesus to come into our lives, that same power is there. It's that same anointing. Christ the anointed one. You are anointed when you're in relationship with Christ Jesus. That same anointing, that same power, it resides within each and every one of us. And the way it increases and the way that we see things happening, he's having a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and developing that relationship. How do I know that's what God wants? Because in the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, he said each day, at the cool of evening, he came into the garden and he sat with them. And he chatted with them. And they radiated his glory. The glory of God. When Moses went to the tent of meetings, he met with God. And he sat in that tent. And he and God were together. He'd been up the mountain first of all, and he spent all that time in the presence of God. And he radiated the glory of God. Do you know something? I believe that this was something of what Adam and Eve had when they were first created. And then it says when they sinned, and it says, and they were naked. They had lost this glory that God had given them. They'd lost that image of his glory. And yet Moses is in the tent of meetings, meeting with God. And every time he goes in, he lifts his veil. And he absorbs more of the glory of God. Yeah. The church needs to absorb more of the glory of God. Yeah. The church needs to allow the presence of God to come in. The church needs at times to forget its programs. And it needs to allow the Spirit of God to come. And to bring the glory of God. Yeah. To you and I, as we come to church, we need to bring our holy oil. The time that we've spent in the presence of Jesus, and we bring that oil. Yeah. And we offer it up in our praise and our worship and our prayers unto God. As a sweet smelling savour that was already read earlier today. Yeah. And we offer our praise to God. And God begins to come down. Yeah. And he magnifies himself in the church. Yeah. Talk of the Welsh revivals in the 1900s, and people were just being convicted of sins, and suddenly they'd just start walking through the church doors and saying, I'm a sinner, what do I do? I need to find God. Nobody had preached the gospel. But I'll tell you what had happened. People had been on their knees praying. God, convict them of sin. God, bring your word. Change this village. Change our area for Jesus. And it is only prayer that caused those things to happen. It wasn't the people themselves. Because of ourselves, we have nothing. But in Christ, we have all things. And so prayer caused a Welsh revival to come. It is told that of one church that on the wall above the platform, they were shining for days the face of a slain lamb. Shining. Nobody had a overhead projector in those days. They didn't have laptops. Didn't have anything like that. But what they did have was a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they began to pray. And they began to call upon the Lord. And as they called upon the Lord, then the Lord sent the answer. And as we call upon the Lord, we shall see the answer. We shall see God moving in power. I am believing, God, that this place will be filled and refilled and refilled, and that we shall not just be having a 3 o'clock meeting, but we shall have to have more than one meeting a day on Sunday. You know, we can see probably maybe 200, I reckon, we'll squeeze in here. And God is still going to do a work. I believe God for that. And it's not be about a man. It'll be about the people of God calling upon their God. And as the people of God call upon their God, then their God will magnify himself. It's not about a man's ministry. It is about the ministry of the Holy Spirit coming into this church, coming into this building and touching lives and leaving with lives, that those lives go outside and change the lives of men and women they come into contact with. Like near and dear at school, they're coming into contact with young people and they're seeing Jesus in their lives, and these young people are saying, "What is it you've got? We want it. Why are you so happy when we're so sad? Why are we crying when you're laughing?" I tell you, it's about Jesus Christ. The Bible says, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. It's not about your problems, it's about his answers to your problems. You know, everybody can moan and complain. But guess what? You take them to Jesus and you'll come back rejoicing. You'll come back praising God, because I know a God who hears and answers prayer. I know a God who saves, heals and delivers. Amen. I've prayed for 3 dead people. Hey, if the Bible says raise the dead, you're going to have to go and find a dead body somewhere and start praying. Well, it's true, isn't it? Find a dead body and go and pray for it. First one I went to pray for, somebody rang me and said, "Will you come and pray for my wife? She's died. She's in the chapel of rest. Will you come and pray for her?" And I'm thinking, "Oh, what do I do now?" And that scripture said, "Well, go lay hands on the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons." And I said, "Well, oh, okay. What time?" So gave me a time. So I said to the Lord, "What are you going to do, Lord? What's going to happen?" Because we all want to know, don't we? You know, we all want to walk in confident. You know, hallelujah. I'm the man of this hour, you know, glory to God. You know, we're going to see things happen today, you know. No, you don't go in like that. You go in fear and trembling. "Dear God, why are you sending me on this mission?" And I said, "Lord, what's going to happen? Are you going to raise this lady from the dead?" And he spoke back to me. And he said to me, "That's for me to know and you to find out." He says, "I'm asking for obedience." Amen. Amen. "To my word." You see, obedience to the word is not, this is a definite guarantee. This is a faith walk. And you walk in obedience to the word and you trust God and you expect God to do something. So we went. Grace and I went along. And we prayed. And prayed. And prayed. And prayed. She didn't come back to life, this lady. And the church we were at, the pastor then heard about it and came into the chapel of rest and tore a strip off me and said, "You're embarrassing the church." Really? Wasn't long by before we left. Because obviously we became an embarrassment to the church. Well, I would rather stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and God on the judgment day and hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, you were obedient to what I asked you to do." The next time we prayed for somebody from the dead, I believe it was Joan. We were having a prayer meeting in the other church, weren't we, on prayer and Bible study. And all of a sudden, she went. And for those of you that have seen a dead person, have you ever seen the death mask over their face? That's what it was. My niece, who's a nurse, was there. And we knew. We'd seen death before. We'd faced it before. And we began to pray. And as we were interceding and praying in tongues and praying over Joan, this voice said to me, "You're going to look a right fool, aren't you? Tomorrow morning, the headlines in the newspaper, minister doesn't call for an ambulance, begins to pray, and lady dies." This is now a battle of faith. Who do you believe? Who do you trust? Is he that you believe in greater than he that's in the world?
Amen.
Well, we didn't dial 999. We dialed Jesus. 888. A new beginning. She's still here.
Amen.
She's alive. And she can share her testimony with you. You can ask her. It happened. There was one prior to you, I'd forgotten actually, the order that they come in. A young man rang me one Sunday morning and said, "My father's been rushed into hospital, he's on a life support machine, he's dead. Will you come and pray?" So I went in and just began to pray. Asked the Lord to begin to minister life into this man's body. And at that I left. I went on with the day's work of church. He's still alive today. Came back to life. It was headlines in one of the newspapers. My name wasn't mentioned. I don't need it to be mentioned. The only thing I need to know is that when I hear God, I obey him and he does the rest. And this is what we have to do. When God speaks, we go. When we start to walk the walk of faith and trust God and believe that God will do a great and mighty work. So, find a dead body. Begin to build your faith. You know, you can't. So many people want to start as baby Christians and then just launch into something magnificent. Sometimes it's a walk of faith. Step by step. I'm walking in faith. Lay hands on the sick. Begin to pray for things. Begin to believe God for answers to problems and situations and circumstances. And God will do it.
Amen.
He is a faithful God. Because God said, when God speaks, things change. And you know, when we're in the Word of God and we begin to speak the Word of God, we're speaking a creative force of life that will change the destiny of men and women and young people. You know, near and dear, they've been sharing and beginning to live their lives for Jesus. Oh, they can tell you they didn't used to be like they are now. We know that, but we were just the same. But God's changing them. The Lord's working on their lives and they are becoming more like Jesus. Oh, and by the way, she's not perfect yet. But have a look in a mirror. Neither are you and neither am I. But guess what? I'm on a road. I'm on a journey. I'm on the journey. Sometimes I fall. Sometimes I trip up. But it says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And you know, then God says, "Come on, come on, son, get up." And he lifts us up and he dusts us off, says, "Come on, let's do it again. You can do this. We can do this." And when we're in the Word of God, when we let this Word of God work its work within our lives, we shall see signs, wonders, and miracles. I came to faith in Jesus Christ. Don't get too excited about it, you know. We shall see signs, wonders, and miracles. I came to faith in Jesus Christ by seeing people healed. I believed in a Jesus. I was brought up in a Christian family to some degree, and I believed in a Jesus. But I did not know that Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I did not have a personal relationship with him. But at 16 years old, I saw people being healed. I saw blind eyes open, deaf ears being unstopped. And it was at that point I realized even more, definitely, there is a Jesus and I want to meet him. And it was at that point that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Oh, I had some faltering starts along the way. But I began the journey. And I made a promise to God. I said, "Lord, I will live my life devoted to you in signs, wonders, and miracles, O God. Because it drew me to Jesus, it drew my family to Jesus. All that family found the Lord as their own personal Savior. What can be better than that? It's so exciting. God wants to use each and every one of us. It doesn't all have to come from me. It's not about me. It's not about the leadership. But it's in this church, it's about you, the leadership encouraging and teaching you. Come on, you can do this. You go out and do this. One of our things of ministry scripture is to Ephesians 4 and verse 12. The fivefold ministry is there for the equipping of the saints. You're the saints. I'm a saint. Saint Andrew. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, it's true because Paul writes to the saints at Ephesus. Who's he writing? He's not writing to icons and stained glass windows. You don't write letters to icons and stained glass windows, do you? You write letters to somebody who's alive. Yeah? To the saints at Ephesus. To the saints in Doncaster. Hallelujah. When I was in Romania, I said to them, who's a saint?
Not us.
No. Began to share with them. Yeah. So I said, if you're not saints, you must be sinners then. Began to explain to them. You're either a saint or you're a sinner. Make your mind up. You know, if you've accepted Jesus into your heart and life, you're a saint. You may not do it right always. You might not get it right all the time. But I'm on the journey. I'm on the road. And I'm following Him day by day. And the more I get closer to Jesus, the more time I spend with Him, the more I'm being perfected in His image. Even Moses made mistakes and he was classed as the most humblest man on the earth. God wants to use you. God wants you to be equipped. God wants you to be filled with His Holy Spirit. God wants you as it was in the beginning, so it shall be now. He wants that relationship with you. Not with you through your parents, but with you. Not with you through me, but with you. You see, Christianity, the relationship that we have, is personal. I stop when people say to me, so, are you a Christian? I say, no. Huh? No, I'm not a Christian. Well, what are you? I'm a disciple. A disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to be having. You know, just because you walk through this building and it says church, Christian church or whatever it might say, that does not mean to say when you walk through the door you got suddenly... Oh, I'm a Christian now. And then when you walk out of it, you're a demon. When you walk into a garage, does that make you a car? No, it usually makes you want to buy a car. When you walk into a supermarket, does it make you a packet on a shelf? No. It's a personal, everyday walk and relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what makes you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, go and make disciples. He didn't say, go and make Christians. That's what the world calls us. Jesus said, go and make disciples. A disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go and make a disciple. Be a disciple. And then He said to His disciples, go out. Go out into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons in my name, He said. Do it to the glory of God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to go on much longer because I know it's a cool night tonight. I'm red hot up here. I'm boiling. Hallelujah. But I know you guys have sat around and you can be feeling the cold. And we'll leave where I was going to go for this week with... I just want to begin to show you some things later on in Scripture. I'm just going to do some basic teachings and put a few things together and show you some things of the Word of God historically, of how we get from God in the beginning right through to Abram is where we're going to get to for a starter. If I just throw up one of the... Throw the graph up. That will be good, please. Can you all see that? Not now. On the left-hand side, at the bottom there, I need to get one of those little pointer things, don't I? You see on this left-hand side here, just there. Oh, that's good. That worked, don't it? Oh, I don't need one of them, do I? I've got a finger. That works. So just there, zero. The beginning of time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And day six, Adam arrives and Eve. And then along here are the number of years that Adam lived. The next one in line is Seth, one of his sons. Shows you how long he lived. Shows you in red is when he was born. Enoch. He walked with God and then suddenly was not. And what a reason I've done this is I want you to see that by the time we get to Abraham, there are seven generations. And if you look here, you would see that Methuselah would have known Adam, and he was the man who lived the longest. So the story of creation and the fact of the Adam and Eve's relationship and the Garden of Eden will be told through to the family. And so Adam would have told Seth, would have told Enoch. Seth and Enoch would have told Methuselah. Methuselah would have told Noah. And Noah told son is Shem. And Shem told Abraham. We'll leave it there for today. That's just to whet your appetite. We'll talk some more on that. I'll give you some other numbers to look at later on. But people of God, be encouraged. Jesus wants you to go out into all the world, amen, to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons. He wants you to know that He loves you with a love that is beyond earning. He wants you to know that He died for you and He died for me, that He can set us free and do a great work in our lives, and He wants to work through you and through me. Amen? Have faith. Believe God. And let's this year 2016 begin to believe and expect those miracles. Come together at the prayer meetings. Sunday, 2:45, we meet for prayer just over on that side there. Wednesday, we meet for prayer and Bible study and just sharing the Word of God together. Where you can sit, you can ask questions, you can comment, and we can just grow in the Word together and enjoy the Word of God. Pray for our young people. We're already told there's another young lady who wants to ask Jesus into her life. God called us to sow seeds. I believe He sends the angels to bring in the harvest. We need to start sowing some seeds. Lest they hear, they need to hear. And the only way they're going to hear is when you open your mouths, when I open my mouth. And when all of us begin to do it, it's a mighty seed sowing machine for the kingdom of God. When we pray, we pull down the strongholds and we break through those spiritual barriers that stop this area of Doncaster from being as barren as it is. Do you know, Doncaster has never, ever seen a revival. Revivals have happened around Yorkshire and this area, but Doncaster has never, ever seen a revival. Something has to be broken spiritually in Doncaster. And if God calls us to do it, then let's do it, or let's be part of the doing for the kingdom of God. Amen. The Lord bless you. See you soon.